Hello, everybody. It's Kateri.
And Owen and Kailak.
And welcome to Tarot Talk by the Soothsayer's Tea. Today is the Hermit. Ooh.
Very relatable card.
Yes, very
relatable. As someone card. Who hasn't left my house in 3 days, very relatable card.
Honestly, it's a beautiful card. The Hermit is definitely... It's funny because I found my original tarot notes when I first started reading tarot. And one of the exercises was basically, what's your favorite card and what's your least favorite card? And I picked the Hermit as my least favorite card. And looking back on it now, and I'm like, why? Because keep in mind, I didn't know anything about tarot at the time. So it told me, don't look up any of the meanings, just look at the cards. Which one do you not like? And I picked the Hermit because I was just like, oh no, it's just kind of gray and gross and I'm not feeling it, right?
Yeah.
Funny enough, now that I'm old and jaded, I'm just like, the Hermit is...
Emphasis on old.
Emphasis on very old. yeah, there is a lot of love for the Hermit in this house.
Yeah, I mean, I very much my entire life have embodied the Hermit. I haven't, in my own tarot journey, I have not moved past the Hermit. Like, this is there. Where I am. but yeah, I mean, I've always sort of had an amicable relationship with the Hermit. The Hermit often comes up for me when I'm like forcing myself to do too much. And so it was semi associated with sort of negative readings, but there was always that little bit of like, oh, look, an old friend.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'll dig a little deeper into that. But the history of the card, it's actually pretty straightforward. Anything on this mental plane when it comes to cards are pretty straightforward. Now, Hermits are actually a kind of like religious sect within like Catholicism, Christianity, some Eastern Orthodoxy. So that's actually originally where it kind of came from. A hermit or eremite, I think it's pronounced. I might be saying that wrong. Yes. So this is somebody who is like intentionally living in seclusion for higher understanding. There is some parallels there when it comes to the Hierophant, but the Hierophant is very much so in a leadership position, and they're there to basically better the people around them. Well, the Hermit is a selfish asshole, and he's just there to better himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Eremite? I don't know either. Very much a word I've only seen written down. Yes. But yeah, the Hermit very much makes me think of sort of like an old man living by himself, like reading his books type situation. Like, it's not necessarily a bad card to pull, but it's also not necessarily a good card to pull either.
Yeah, it's when it comes to the meetings, if we want to dig into them a little bit, it's just that although it should indicate like introspection, some withdrawal, like solitude, a lot of times, especially during COVID times, I found this card came out quite a bit. But it means isolation and being antisocial, rejection. Could indicate like returning to society depending on where your surrounding cards are, or I guess if you read reversals. But yeah, the card itself is it's an interesting one. And if we want to go into some parallels there, so the last episode that we totally went full goblin on of Tarot Talk for strength.
Oh my god.
I know, I loved it. But the
shout out to Christina.
Oh no, that was a feature episode. I'm talking about like our Tarot Talk and we're just like, what the hell
are you talking
about? That was also a hot mess. but when it comes to strength ? And how it can be almost switched out with justice, I'm going to say something very, very controversial here, which I believe that...
As opposed to what you normally would say, yes.
Which is absolutely everybody agrees with me, ever. I actually like justice before the Hermit, rather than strength.
Wow. I think we talked about this before. I think, like, for me, in terms of, like, the, like, different planes, it makes more sense to me, but in terms of, like, actual... reading the cards, I put strength before the Hermit.
Yeah, and again, that's the Rider-Waite-Smith basically version of the cards. In old tarot cards, justice would come first, and the reason why my mental reasoning for that is that after justice you need to have the withdrawal period, when you're going through that kind of process, again, we are going to get to justice in an episode or two, but when you're going through that kind of battle with finding truth, there is a sense of needing to withdraw and kind of release and heal. So that's where I like having justice in the first, like before the hermit. But honestly, strength works as well, because for you to be able to go into a point of solitude and kind of come out of it a better person, you kind of have to have that inner strength.
Yeah, and that's sort of my perspective on it, to be honest, because I think that isolating ourselves and sort of taking some time for our introspection and sort of like distancing ourselves for a little while can be good. But if we don't have that sort of inner strength, I don't really know if you'll be able to come back out of that. It's very, very easy for someone who is being more of the hermit for mental health reasons to take it a little bit too far.
Yeah. And now we keep going up the road there. We have the Wheel of Fortune. So this is where the hermit kind of lets go. I wouldn't say that they're like a guru type character, but they're definitely a lot more spiritually in sound with themselves than anything else. While the Hierophant is more spiritually in tune for the betterment of the community, the hermit is very self-reflective to the point that when it gets to the point of fate and luck, they just understand that they might not have a whole lot of control over that. Or if they do have control, it's because they spent the time working on themselves and not worrying about outside sources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, the hermit does actually like a little bit more, not necessarily non-traditionally, but I think just a little bit more obscurely, the hermit will come up quite often when I'm speaking to another sort of spiritual practitioner and I'm reading for them. And it's usually an indication that they need to do a little bit more study and they sort of need to focus a little bit more on their actual practice and less so what they're projecting their practice is to other people.
Yeah. And if we're looking at Rose, before we kind of go over a little deeper into how it appears for us, our parallels in the practical plane is the High Priestess, which again, that kind of hidden feeling and kind of exploring that kind of hidden side. And then in the spiritual plane, it's parallel with the Tower. And the Tower is usually kind of like chaos, hubris and such. So it's there's a little bit of warning there. Again, not to withdraw and become antisocial, because that can be catalytic.
Not to be that one TikTok bitch, but the amount of times that I've pulled the Tower in the past week is insane.
Have fun.
not even just for myself, like for other people too. Like I've been pulling the Tower left, right and fucking center. I think, hold on, let me check. I've kept record of this because it has been insane.
Have you considered taking it out of your deck?
Yeah, okay, so since the 2nd of May, I have pulled the Tower for myself twice and for other people 9 times.
Sorry, that's not funny. That's terrifying, but that's also funny.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it makes sense. Like, you know what's about to happen for me, but like, for everyone else, oh my, why is everyone having their little Tower moment right now in May? Like, what's that about?
Well, it is eclipse season.
Ooh, that's true.
Yeah.
I forgot about the scars. The scars. The stars.
the scars that give us scars.
But yes, what has scarred you about the hermit? How has the hermit scarred you?
The hermit has not scarred me at all. Again, it came up quite a bit. I think it, honestly, I wasn't making logs at the time, but I could say pretty confidently when I was doing a lot of readings during lockdown, I think it came up for almost every client.
Oh my god, logs of Tower readings. I was sitting here, I've been listening to what you were saying, but the other half of my brain was trying to figure out what you meant by making logs. I was like, what were you doing? What is making logs?
Oh my god, I love how you also said, yes, let me check where I've logged here too. Oh my god.
Yeah, 100%. Like, listen, we move. But yeah.
So yeah, no, I found it came up almost constantly. When it came to people reaching out to me during the lockdown.
And, oh yeah, big time.
And for me, I always take it as a sign to, I wouldn't say be mean to myself, but where I personally kind of associate it more closely with justice than I do strength, although I do associate with strength as well, I find that when it comes up for me, it's usually just like, stop ignoring the issue. look within yourself, find out what the issue is here and action it and kind of make those decisions, figure yourself out, explore yourself and go from there. Usually when this comes up, I'm being told that I have to, again, dig deeper in my practice. It does come up for a lot of practitioners nowadays, I think. The hermit or anybody who needs to kind of give it up. I find when people come to me with problems and they're like, it's a fight. It is a card of withdrawing. So I kind of tell people just kind of relax a bit when this one comes up.
Yeah. For me, it actually comes up quite well. Yeah. Over lockdown, almost every reading, like everyone was in their little hermit phase. Some people a lot more so than others. And so like in recent experiences, the hermit for me has actually been a lot about people's mental health and the way that they are sort of isolating themselves. But then the other sort of side of that coin is what I'm seeing is people are being too public with their stuff. And it's not necessarily about like how they're presenting themselves or their mental health, but it's sort of with, because a lot of my clients are like online occult Twitter and type sort of users. And a lot of the time what comes up for me with a hermit is people are spending too much time worrying about what they're going to put online when it comes to their practice and like what photos they're going to take for the internet or like what traditions that are like trendy right now, and less so their actual spiritual and religious practice. They're worried less so about like that's they're focusing too much, not even on the aesthetics, but just on like the outside view of their practice.
Yeah, so it comes up for you when like people are being shallow, like it's kind of warning them to dig deeper.
It's sort of like that. It's sort of like oversharing, I guess, a little bit. I guess sort of shallowness. I feel like shallow is not 100% the right word, because it's not even about like the like outside validation. It's just like getting stuff out there and needing stuff to be seen. So I guess it sort of is about outside validation, but like not in such a direct way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's fair.
If that makes sense at the bottom of a sentence that doesn't make sense and pretending it's fine.
Well, and that's the thing. If it's coming up, I would definitely read that. If I had clients like that, they're very much so concerned about producing. I'd tell them to cut their hands off for a couple of hours and don't produce for a minute and just kind of take the time to, again, to withdraw, right? Yeah. I think that's the problem, is that myself included, is that we don't know how to necessarily take a break. And I consider sitting there and staring at the wall and, you know, pondering your own existence, working. So it means like just whatever you're doing, whatever your kind of obsessive habits are, take a break from it, pull back. I would almost think this is like a card of therapy, right? It's almost a card of like kind of reviewing your thought processes kind of objectively and like, and not really having much of emotional response. And that's what I said earlier, when I did see this card for the very first time, I couldn't connect to it because it is a cold card. It's a pretty cold card overall, but it's not a bad cold. It's a necessarily cooling down from heated things, because again, it's parallel and it's almost as opposite as the tower, which is just red hot. And you just want to make sure that you're approaching the hermit, again, in a good spot. And that's where I like strength before it, because you cannot be in a good spot to be able to do this in a healthy way.
Yeah. I feel like the hermit is cold in the same way that sort of a like a guiding mentor would be cold with you. Please, no, listen, that wasn't even the Irish accent, but the other day I said childer instead of children when talking to one of my friends, and I was like, oh my god, it's happening.
All I can think of is like mentor is like the Irish version of minotaur.
No, but like for me, the hermit is very much like the coldness of the hermit is usually only felt so strongly because I'm coming at it from such a hot mindset. Like whenever I pull the hermit, I almost just said the Kermit.
That's what it's called now. It's the Kermit.
Whenever I pull the Kermit, I end up sitting here pissed off. Like not pissed off, but like I've been doing all this work and now you want me to stop. Like I've been doing everything. I've been juggling these balls and like now you just want me to stop. what is wrong with you? Why are you speaking to me like this? Shut the fuck up, Kermit. Ribbit, ribbit, my fucking ass. But I feel like that sort of exacerbates the coldness of the card because we come at it with such a strong, like, sort of not hot-headed mindset, but kind of a hot-headed mindset. And so for me, actually, very recently, I pulled the Hermit. I said it right that time. I pulled the Hermit. And for me, what that meant was logging out of my Twitter, logging out of my Discord, logging out of everything and leaving a bunch of like places and whatever, and turning off my phone for essentially what was an indeterminate, like an indefinite amount of time. I was gone for 2 days. I planned to be gone for a week. Yeah, no, like, listen, I was successfully gone for 48 hours. And in the last 24, I slowly came back. But those 2 days were so like amazing and perfect. And it was so nerve wracking for the first hour after I'd logged out of all my social medias. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. What do I do now if I can't scroll through my phone and if I can't speak to my like my people? It turns out I lived. I didn't die. I was able to get through it. But I was not happy for that first like 1 to 6 hours. I was very fidgety and on edge because I couldn't like look at my social medias, and I was like, this is clearly a very unhealthy reaction. Maybe the Hermit was right.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, it can definitely be more of a command than anything. It really depends on how it comes up in readings and what your life situation is. And I find that, like, when it comes to the practical, again, we're going to go into the roles of the tarot here, the practical plane, the Magician to the Chariot, that is very much so, again, very understandable. The mental planes, it is a colder type plane. It's there's not a whole lot of emotions involved with it. It's more or less just kind of like logic. So once we get into the last row, which is like the Devil to the World, the spiritual plane, that's when we kind of get a lot of emotions involved. And those where the cards can get a little hard to kind of recognize and understand because you're kind of trying to put words to feelings and emotions. And it's almost hard to do it on the mental plane too, because you're also trying to feel it out and you're trying to add emotions to something that's so mentally up in your head.
Yeah. The Hermit, it's such a double-edged sword for me because, like, as you were saying, like, it really does, there's such a fine line between like sort of disconnecting and sort of taking your time for your mental health and being sort of like present in the moment and isolating yourself. And I struggle with the Hermit a lot. I walk back and forth the line of the Hermit quite often myself. It is a card that gets pulled for me very often because I will have that tendency to sort of like isolate myself. And like, I don't know. That's it. Like, that's all I, like, just,
Yeah. And I think that's where, again, where strength and justice can kind of flip out before it, because I think it really depends on what's going on in your life, how it's going to be approached, right? Like, if you have to deal with a lot of, like, because a lot of people don't realize, like, justice can be quite chaotic. So you have a lot of chaos and you have to withdraw, right? Just because of all the drama of it all, then that might not necessarily be the best card. But if you have the mindset or you're in a place in your life where you have strength for it and you're trying to withdraw because you have to recover from cancer, for example, that's still going to be rough, but it's not going to be like the dramatics of it all. It's not going to be like, it's not going to be as much as a, it's going to be a different type of withdrawing and healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think we see that there are a lot of like a really great depictions of this in pop culture. Did my voice just crack?
Yep. Are you hitting puberty?
At my big age? Oh my God, am I finally hitting puberty, guys? Oh my God.
Big boy.
No, but like, there's a lot of depictions in media of this. Like, okay, the first one that comes to mind, and it's so like bright up my mind, even though I can never remember his fucking name, Uncle Ira from, I almost just said She-Ra. Iroh?
I think it's Iroh. You see, you watched the series, not me.
Yeah, I think it's Uncle Iroh.
It's Iroh, Iroh. I just Googled
Wow.
it.
Wow. So. Wow. Okay. Fake fan. Me is, I guess. But for those of you who don't know, Uncle Iroh is the... Oh, yeah. It's Iroh, isn't it?
Yep.
That's what you just said. You literally just said those words to me. Okay.
Yep.
For those of you who don't know, Avatar The Last Airbender, Uncle Iroh is the uncle of Zuko. And Zuko is sort of... Okay, this has been out for years, so I better not hear shit about me spoiling this for anybody. Kateri, cover your ears.
I have them covered with headphones.
Okay, perfect. Well, Uncle Iroh is basically the uncle of the antagonist throughout the series. And from the beginning, he's sort of like the voice of reason. And we learn throughout the series that Uncle Iroh has had a very, very tumultuous and sort of violent past. And then one big thing happened, which I'm not going to spoil. And since then, he has taken the time to sort of self-reflect and sort of isolate himself from the rest of the community of the Fire Nation, which he does very well, by fucking away off with Zuko when Zuko is banished. And so he is very much, he's a background character. He doesn't really have a character arc in the series itself. He's sort of just learned from his mistake. He's sort of the voice of reason. He's sort of like, he borders the line between the Hierophant and the Hermit quite well. I feel like both would work for him, but that whole aspect of his like sort of time for self-reflection and the development that's come from that is very much the Hermit.
Yeah, I haven't watched the series yet. It's on the list. Thank you for the spoilers, you ass. But I would say, like, although like Avatar is not a anime, it's anime adjacent. That's how I see it. A lot of people think it's an anime. It's not. But I would say like an anime pop culture connection, which actually is on the more negative side of the Hermit, would be
Sorry, one moment. Do not give out to me. I just Googled this. Do not give out to me for spoiling this for you when this show is almost as old as I am.
okay, whatever. Aren't you like three and a half?
Yes. No, I'm sorry for interrupting you. Continue.
Yeah, so me and my spouse is very, very regretfully and very, very excitingly watching Dragon Ball, like from the beginning to Dragon Ball Z to Dragon Ball Super. And I'm just gonna set the expectation. The show is so terrible, it's great, and I love every moment of how terrible it is. I know I'm going to piss off a few people saying that, but I love it so much, not because it's good, but because it's terrible and it's great. Master
It's like me with a
Roshi.
Riverdale.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm obsessed. I'm probably going to get a Vegeta tattoo. Like, this is how obsessed I am with how
Oh
bad it
my God,
is.
wait, really?
Yeah.
Are you gonna? Oh my fucking
Me
God,
and
are
my
you?
spouse already have plans to have matching ankle tattoos of hair. He's gonna get Goku, I'm gonna get Vegeta.
Oh my God. Podcast cancels.
It's your
This
time to
is
think.
it. This is it now. I'm done. Okay, listen, I can't talk shit. I was gonna get a Heartstopper tattoo last week, so we'll move on.
We'll move on. But Master Roshi. If you're not familiar with Master Roshi, he is literally known as the Turtle Hermit, and he lives on this tiny little island. And he basically trains people in martial arts, and he's also a absolutely disgusting pervert because he never gets to see women. So there is a like definitely a side of anti-socialism there, just because he doesn't know how to act right, because he's so caught up in doing training and being a fucking old weirdo that he gets so lost about how to deal with, just common courtesy and common, talking to people. It's really funny if you kind of like, don't think of your morals.
I
And you just see it
refuse to
as.
watch Dragon Ball. I really do. I'm sorry, Queen. It's just not happening.
No, it's so bad, it's good. But Master Roshi is an example of that because, again, he is intentionally withdrawing just to strictly master something. And
I'll
honestly,
take your word for it.
you're gonna have to. And I'm just gonna smash these two characters together because if you didn't think about these two characters when you picked up this episode, then that's on you. Obi-Wan slash Gandalf. Come on.
I'm not a nerd, so I'll have to also take your word for it. I haven't watched any of the Lord of the Rings or read the books, or I've watched The Hobbit. I haven't read the book. I probably never will. I don't like Star Wars, and so once again, I'm gonna have to take your word for
Oh my
it.
gosh. I thought you
But
watched
okay.
the newer ones.
I watched them. It doesn't mean I fucking liked them or understood them, but
Fair.
look, okay, I through existing as a person online, I do sort of know who you're talking about. Like Gandalf's the big fucking,
wizard.
Gray one, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I see it. I can see it.
Yes, and then Obi-Wan, or if you want to be, you know, a Zoomer, if you've watched the new Star Wars, Luke Skywalker kind of took over that role.
Really? The series has been going on that long that Luke Skywalker is now fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Not Obi-Wan Kenobi specifically, but he is like that hermit type character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know what? Mark Hamill's old as dust.
You know what? Yeah. And for the people who are, you know, born in this, the last 50 years, Heartstopper, my beloved, Isaac. Now, I discovered, so I've read the webtoon, yeah? And I've watched the TV show. And I've watched the TV show many, many times. I think I've, since our last episode, I think I've watched it 3 times. Not our last episode is in Friday, our last episode is in, like, Strength, whatever. But, Isaac from the show, I don't think is in the book, or the webtoon. Like, I don't know about the books. I've read some of the books as well. Okay, look, I love the show, my memory's awful. I love everything, but I cannot remember shit. However, Isaac, very much a sort of unbothered character. There's no real character arc, there's no real sort of, it's just, Isaac has a very straight role throughout the entire show, and it's very much just, like, that supportive kind of background character who is just a very self-reflecting and isolated person, not really involved with anything that's going on around him. He's just much more happy to sit there and read his book than he is to sort of intermingle, but not isolated to the point where he's like socially isolated. He has friends, and the friends care about him, and he cares about the friends, but but, you know, he's just, he's out there. He's outside of everything else. He exists in his own little world.
Yeah, and honestly, like, teasing aside, I'm glad that you have an example that's not an old dude, because
yeah,
I feel like a lot of the stereotype, a lot of this archetype, I shouldn't say stereotype, but archetype, does always really kind of get applied to old men for whatever reason. And I racked my brain, and it's not because I don't know of any other examples I would use a hermit. I'm just fucking stupid and I couldn't think of any. And I know that there is going to be examples of a hermit type character that's going to be a lot more modern. It's not going to be old people. It's going to be, you know, that loner in school, right? That's not weird. Well, is weird.
Yeah, it's not Edward Cullen, it's Isaac, okay?
Yes. Right? Like, they're normal. They just don't really care about,
oh my god, wait, things. Side note, sidebar. What tarot card would Edward Cullen be?
There's no dumb asshole card.
There isn't, but I'm genuinely asking, hold on, would he be?
There's no little bitch card.
Debatable, but we move.
You know what? Because he's like, what, 185 million years old and he's still in high school, maybe like the hangman because he doesn't fucking go anywhere.
Yeah, I can see that. I was thinking the Ten of Swords, just for the sheer amount of fucking pain that it causes me to witness his existence.
Listen, I might be old, but I never got into Twilight Mania. I thought it was stupid the second it came out. Oh,
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Okay, this is my turn to judge you.
Yeah, and you can judge me because I rewatched all of the films as recently as last year.
Oh, God. Oh, and podcast canceled. Christ, man.
Yeah, and I unironically enjoyed them.
Princess, what are you doing
to me? It wasn't even ironic. It was literally me and my good friend, and we sat there and watched all of the Twilights, and we did not get high, we didn't get drunk, we just had fun watching Twilight.
Oh my god. Killing me. You're absolutely murdering me. I am deceased, I am dead, I am expired, I am in the ground.
Fuck canceling the podcast. Cancel me.
New co-host next week. With that being said, I think we got it all. I think we got all our giggles out and all our our teasing.
All our hot takes.
Hot takes and all our, you know, gentle, kind, vicious bullying to each other.
You love to see it. But yeah, I've got nothing more to say. You can find me on Twitter at Owen on Kyluck. The Soothsayers T Twitter is something that I also run, which I said in a very strange way, but we move at Soothsayers underscore T. You could buy readings for me if my shop was open, but it's not, so suffer, I guess. All of the links will be below, though, anyway. I love you.
Yes, and I'm Kateri, and I don't love you. And mm-hmm. I run Vinoxus.net, where you can purchase readings from me, whether it be Zoom, in person, if you like to see my wonderful face, or by PDF readings. I also run the Soothsayers T Instagram, which is Soothsayer underscore T. But you're not going to remember all that, so all our links are in the description below.
This is why God gave us Linktree.
Yes. Praise yeah. God. Praise to be God. This is like this is my turn to Catholicism right here, because, you know, God gave us Linktree.
Not God gave us Linktree.
Yeah, not any of the pagan gods. Just
no.
Just Jesus no. Christ, God, sorry, and pagan, the Holy Ghost.
Pagan? What the fuck are you? Some kind of pagan?
Yeah, I know, right? Evil.
But yeah, with that, good luck, everybody. Have a wonderful week, and yeah. Goodbye.
Bye.